Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, before we start to the message today, I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, there's an alarming report. Actually, Outreach Magazine just did a thing about it 4 days ago that says that roughly 32 million churchgoers will not be voting this year in the election. And, you know, that's a lot. And, you know, so one of the things we've, a lot of pastors have been encouraged to talk about over the last few weeks is, you know, it's important to vote. All right. And you realize we're not just having a presidential election here. I mean, we're electing state, local, you know, officials. I mean, you know, and your state and local officials might actually have more influence on your life than the presidential election. But actually, according to Arizona, some Christian, let's say, is Arizona Christian University, they're saying that Christians could be the deciding factor in your state and local elections because you're not voting for the presidential election, so you're not voting at all. And it's just astounding. But it says one of the reasons that churchgoers aren't voting is because pastors don't tell people it's important to vote. Now it says people don't want to be told who to vote for. They want to know why we should vote. Well, you should vote. First of all, I believe it's your right. Well, it is your right to vote, but I think it's a responsibility to vote. Me personally. And I also feel, now, I know, you know, most of our Oklahoma politicians, both federal and state, and we have a lot of really good Christian men and women that do represent the state of Oklahoma, and that's pretty awesome. And, you know, I think maybe more of us vote here in Oklahoma than other places. But we want to keep it that way. You know, there were other states that used to be more conservative, now are less conservative, and mainly it's because the conservative people quit voting. We are the biggest voter bloc in the nation. This Arizona Christian University also says that, it's important to talk about biblical views. And whenever you're voting in an election, you got to vote for the candidate that most represents the biblical views that you see fit. Dr. Ben Carson told us the other day, he says, you know, sometimes you feel in an election you're voting for the lesser of the lesser of both evils. But he did say this, unless Jesus Christ is on the ballot, it's always going to be that way. All right, I mean, you know, no one's perfect. Here's the reasons why people aren't voting, Christians aren't voting. 68% lack interest in politics and elections. 57% dislike all major candidates. 55% feel none of the candidates reflect their most important views. And 52% believe that their vote will not make a difference. Well, you know, it'll make a difference. I know in some local elections, only a few votes were the difference. All right? And so maybe it might not make as much difference, you know, in Oklahoma in a federal election or whatever. But I think my grandfather said this one time. He says, if you don't vote, you can't gripe. All right? So you keep your mouth shut. In fact, there is actually Proverbs 29:2 says this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. All right? So, you know, most important thing is vote. I know early voting here in Oklahoma starts this week. If you're watching online, early voting probably started, maybe some early voting started in September from some states, but I think it's important. Now, it's also important to be educated, all right? Or you can actually just text me and ask me who to vote for, and I'll tell you. But anyway, that's... Unfortunately, you know, and I actually feel bad. Unfortunately, I get like 25 or 30 people who ask me who to vote for, which means my vote counts 25 or 30 times, but... The other side about it is, why don't you educate yourself? And that's where the reason I'm talking. You have a week? You have like 9 days or 10 days now to educate yourself. There are some state questions on the ballot. You need to figure out. There's also judges on the ballot. You know, there are some judges, I believe, that we should not be on the bench anymore, but, I mean, that's, somebody actually has to, say no. I mean, because most of the time we don't know the judges or we haven't done anything. No, there's plenty of voter guides. I don't really want to throw out saying, but I know one thing that always texts me, and I haven't really looked at the voter guide, but ivoterguide.com is a computer one, so you can probably find that. But I just want to encourage you guys, vote. And encourage everybody else too. Your opinion does matter. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you need to vote their best. Now, I also want to give you a testimony. I was out preaching in Washington State, and an awesome thing happened. This is, I mean, we actually had a number of awesome healings, and that's one thing the Lord has been, telling me about. The reason I need to travel more is to use the gift of healing that God has given me. And so we were actually at an RMAI regional director, not regional, RMAI a retreat in Region 1, which is, well, I guess it's Washington State, Oregon, Alaska, Idaho. I think those are the states that represented there. Anyway, so there's a lady pastor. I think she's actually might be semi-retired or retired. And she came in on a walker, and evidently she could barely even walk on this walker. I mean, it said she was really, really walking slow. I didn't notice that. So she came down, for healing, and she ended up walking back to her. Well, she started walking back to her seat and realized that she was completely healed. And she was almost running around the church. Right? I mean, I was actually still because it was, talking and stuff, and she's running around the church, just yelling and screaming and things like that. Unlike the one with the issue of blood who fell down and didn't say anything, didn't want to say anything, but this lady was, so she told one of the pastors that said, she goes, I just told the Lord the other day, I can't live like this anymore. I'm ready to go home. I don't want to live life like this, but praise God. She got completely healed, and I mean, it was just pretty awesome. It was so awesome to see her face the next day. How incredible it is to do that. All right, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I don't know. I read Philippians chapter 4 every day, and I was just, just meditating on some things. And I went back, looked at my notes, and it's been a while. I think I talk about this all the time, but I guess I don't, maybe because I read it all the time. And so I want to, we're going to read Philippians 4:4. We're going to start out. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, rejoice is a compound word meaning have joy again. All right. We should always be happy. All right. Always be happy. Now, it says in the New Living, it says always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So, we should always be full of joy, no matter what. And we talked about joy the other day in one of my messages. Now, here's the thing. It's not always happy, but we should always be full of joy. Why should we be full of joy? Because the greater one lives on the inside. In every situation, every circumstance that comes our way, and I get it. I mean, things aren't the economy's not the best in the world and things like that. But you know what? We're not dependent on our economy. And also, I did say we do need to vote. We do need to vote. But some people say, well, if this person doesn't get elected, I mean, America's going to fall apart and all these kind of things. Well, here's the thing. You realize Israel made it through good kings and bad kings because God's not going to fall apart. God's not going to fall apart. And that's the thing is we need to change our perspective. We shouldn't be looking at things like a natural person looks at things. We should be looking at things like a godly person looks at things. Well, that's not really my favorite thing, but you know what? It's going to be okay. I'm going to be happy in spite of everything. In fact, Keith Moore has a song called Hallelujah Anyhow. Amen. Never, ever let the devil get you down. And I think that should be our perspective all the time. It doesn't matter. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 says it this way, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ." Now, you know, it's interesting, it says in everything give thanks. Now, that doesn't mean everything's always going to be, you know, really happy or whatever. Anyway, I got to turn there because in my notes, I didn't put the New Living Translation. I was supposed to, but I copied the wrong translation. Bad thing about copying and paste sometimes. So the New Living Translation says it this way, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't matter. Always be joyful, never stop praying. You know what? That's the thing about it is we need to continue to pray for everything, you know, in our own life. We should be praying for this country, especially during this election period of time. In fact, I'm actually doing a video clip, Right Side Broadcasting, which is an internet broadcasting thing, called me or texted me on Friday, wanted me to do a video clip, and I guess many different pastors around the nation, and you know, just a prayer for the nation during this election season. I don't know if you guys watch the news, because some of you don't. They just arrested some folks in Oklahoma City that had a plot that they were going to go shoot people on election day. And maybe many of them didn't see it. You can Google that. We're talking this Oklahoma City, folks. We're not talking about this as New York City, L.A., Chicago, whatever. This is Oklahoma City. Right down the road. All right? And I don't know if it was just planned for Oklahoma City. I don't know what the whole thing is, but and it wasn't, but you know, they're going to shoot people at the ballot box. It wasn't a Democrat Republican thing. They're going to shoot everybody. All right, so we do need to be praying. You know, first of all, for this, you know, for America, and we need to pray for America before the election and after, because afterwards, half America is going to be upset. You know, and I don't want to see more riots and more stuff and more all these kind of things. I mean, you know, I want to live a quiet and peaceful life. And that's, you know, every election, half America gets upset or whatever, but it all is going to be okay. We're going to be thankful in all circumstances, in all situations, no matter what. You know what? God's still in control, and it's going to happen. Now, here's something else. So when I say God's in control, that's why a lot of Christians don't vote, because they're like, well, God's in control. He's going to, whatever. You know, but if you don't vote, now, like I said, if you're in a swing state, you realize it was only thousands of votes last election that would think. So, you know, I mean, it's very important to vote. It's very important to encourage everyone to vote. So, you know, I would like to encourage all of you on your social media, encourage people to vote, because some people are like, well, I don't have time or this or that or whatever. Well, we should have time, because it's pretty important. It does affect us. And I also, too, I do believe that more and more Christians should run for political office, because if we take God out of any area, then we get people who vote for things that we don't want. But be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. So always be joyful. Always thank God no matter what. Of course, we all know James 1:2 says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." But I like the New Living says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now, understand that the Bible says when. It doesn't say if. So I believe that Brother James here, he knew that I don't care if you're a Christian or not, you're going to have troubles. That's because the devil is real. All right, he writes me letters. He hasn't written me a letter in a while. I was kind of upset the other day. Bogey works in partner services, said I got another postcard, but it wasn't from Satan. So, because he hadn't written me in a while, so I don't know. You know, I guess he's leaving me alone. I don't know. Maybe he hates me talking about him. I don't know. But you know, we're going to have troubles and trials and situations, but hey, it's an opportunity for great joy. I know my grandfather would talk about this. You know, he would say sometimes, well, you know, when maybe they had a financial situation or whatever, he would tell my grandmother, well, it's just another opportunity to believe God and show how good God is. You know what? Yeah, I mean, we all have times of trouble and whatever. And the deal is that it's interesting how we as Christians, even though we know the greater one's on the inside of us, when we all face trials and troubles, our first instinct is to freak out. And we all do it. I do it too, all right? We all do it. And, you know, that's our first instinct. And don't feel bad if that's what... But, you know, at some point in time, you got to quit freaking out. At some point in time, you got to decide, you know, because you look at this thing and you're like, well, what am I going to do? And then you're like, oh, yeah, I got the Bible. The greater one lives on the inside of me. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to be happy in spite of what's going on. And, you know, why am I going to be happy in spite of what's going to go on? Because these things are only temporal. They're only temporal. It's all going to be okay. We're going to get through every situation. All right. Going back to Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. And like I said, that's where our text is today. Philippians, the fourth chapter, the next verse. I'm gonna turn here in my Bible. I shouldn't say Bible. It's an iPad. All right. It goes on to say, Philippians chapter 4, going to verse 6, it says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, it is interesting, that word anxious, because anxiety is a problem, probably a problem in the world, but I know in America, everybody's have anxiety problems, and it seems that ever since COVID, the anxiety problems have gone through the roof, all right? During COVID, now during the economy or whatever. But the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Now, New Living, which I really like, it says, don't worry about anything. All right, now, if you've gone back in the bookstore and got one of those Live by Faith shirts on the back, it says, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Well, the Bible says, don't be anxious for nothing or don't worry about anything. So what does that mean? So that means if you're worried about something or you're anxious about something, you're going contrary to God's word. I mean, yeah, but I don't feel like, I mean, it's not about how you feel. I think sometimes it's, I know it's awesome when people come and get saved and they have a feeling that, you know, their life has just changed. But sometimes that when they get that feeling, then every time in life I think they should have this feeling. All right? But faith is more than a feeling. Faith is a knowing. It's not a feeling. And, you know, we're not moved by how we feel. And see, what it is, what we have in life, we have an opportunity to become anxious, or we have an opportunity to worry. But we also have an opportunity not to become anxious, or an opportunity not to worry. And, you know, we don't have to be dependent upon some kind of, you know, some kind of prescription. I mean, because doctors are passing out anti-anxiety medicine like crazy. I mean, we're talking about, you know, kids. I mean, how much anxiety should a kid have? You know, I guess, I mean, that's thing, kids probably grow up too fast in today's world. I mean, you know, the deal is the reason we have anxiety is we don't know whose we are. We don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if we know who we are in Christ Jesus, and if we know maybe we don't know what the Word of God says. I know in one of my grandfather's books, he says one of the reasons why people do not get healed, but I think it's one of the people that, you know, is because they don't know what the Word says. They can't quote the Word. They don't realize that healing belongs to us. But I think one reason why we don't receive a lot of things from God is because we don't we either don't know what the word says or we don't really believe the word. Now, we say we believe the word, but we don't act like we believe the word because the Bible is clear, says not to be anxious for anything or not to worry about anything. But I love the New Living says, it says don't worry about anything, but what should we do instead? It says pray. Instead, pray about everything. And then it tells you how to pray. I mean, it's pretty simple. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. All right? I mean, I know the King James says, and it says, but in everything by prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. But I love it in the New Living. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. You know, I guess for whatever reason, that's what I've always done. I tell God, you know, God, you know, this is some needs in my life, but then I thank him for all the things he's done in the past. And here's the deal. If he's done things for you in the past, he can do things for you in the future. And sometimes that's the deal, is we forget about that God got us through this last situation, so surely he can get through this situation, you know, and like, well, yeah, but this one seems a whole lot harder. Well, they're talking about God here. And then, you know, I was even preaching the other day, and I've said it a couple of times, you know, going back to the keynote scripture of our ministry, we know Mark 11, 23 and 24, and talks about saying to a mountain and the mountain being uprooted and cast into the sea. You know, that's kind of pretty impossible. Anyone ever thought about how impossible it is to move a mountain and throw it into the sea? Pretty impossible. And Jesus said to do that. So don't tell me it's too hard. Don't tell me I don't see how. Well, sometimes I don't either. But the Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believe. But if you're worried about something, you're not believing. If you're concerned about something, and it says, you know, I love it said, tell God what you need. Of course, skipping down a few verses down, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, and sometimes people think, well, you know, well, that's because, you know, you're a better Christian or blah, blah, blah. Well, the New Living Translation says that this, you know, Paul, obviously this is Paul talking. He says this, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So the same God that supplies Paul's needs will supply your needs. All right? And, you know, because sometimes we look at other people, maybe ministers or whatever, and you're like, well, God supplies their needs, but what about mine? Well, it's the same God. Do you have a different God? Because sometimes, you know, if you were to, let's just say that there, you had a financial need of, you know, whatever, and somebody gives a testimony, whether it's live, whether it's online or whatever, about how God met their financial need, and you look at that and you say, well, how come God meets their need but doesn't meet our need? First of all, you're not putting your trust in God. Secondly, my whole point, if God can meet their need, he can meet mine too. And he wants to meet my need. The deal is, do you expect God to meet your need? I mean, that's the thing. It says, tell him what you need, but do you expect him to meet it? Are you hoping and praying that he might? Because that's important. You know, what do I need? Now, also, I like the word need because, see, a lot of people, you know, attribute Philippians 4:19 to money. And because a lot of times we need money, I get it. But I also point out sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we need, you know, mental clarity or whatever. The Bible also says if you lack wisdom. So sometimes we need wisdom in a situation. Sometimes we need to find favor with somebody. You know, maybe you're in a job interview or whatever. I always believe if you're interviewing a job, that you should pray that you'll find favor with man as well as with God. And you know what? If for some reason you don't get hired, maybe that wasn't the place that God wanted you to work. And because, see, sometimes we put our own mental, you know, situation, you know, but sometimes we just need a hug. Whatever you need, you know, just ask the Lord. I mean, you know, like I said, tell him what you need. How hard is it to tell God what you need? You know, I've been saying this, whenever your needs go up, so does his supply. I mean, God has endless supplies to meet your need. You know, and I go back to, you know, I think about it all the time, and I go back to the Old Testament, the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel weren't always the best Christians, so to speak. I understand they're Jews. They weren't really Christians because Jesus hadn't died on the cross and those kind of things. But, I mean, you realize they sit around and griped all the time about how God delivered them from Egypt is going to kill them in the desert. And they're griping and complaining and griping and complaining, you know. And, you know, goes back and forth, you know, they're griping at Moses, they're griping at God. You know, sometimes Moses says, kill them all. Sometimes God's, I mean, they're all griping and complaining. But God, our God is so good that he provided food for them in the middle of the desert. Even a bunch of gripers and complainers. So how much more should God supply to you, especially you that don't gripe and complain? And if you do gripe and complain, well, God had mercy on the Israelites, so he can have mercy on you too. So, you know, the deal is, you know, I always joke about God invented DoorDash. You can walk out and there's food there. You know, even though these people are griping and complaining, but you know what? They didn't die in the desert of starvation, that's for sure. And, you know, all you got to do is tell God what you need. What do you need? Well, I need food. I need this. I need that. And, you know, be specific. This is what I need. And then thank him for what he's done. I mean, you know, I don't know. I try to always be thankful. You know, God's done some great things for us in our life. And, you know, the fact that you're alive is a good thing. You know, I mean, God's done great things. I mean, and he wants to do more great things. But, you know, and that's the thing about it is sometimes we're so caught up in our own life that we really can't be a blessing to others because we can barely get through life ourselves. But God wants to meet all our needs. And he wants to, you know, I mean, I think that he delights. I mean, I know I like helping my kids, you know, meeting their needs. I mean, you know, it's really cool. Like yesterday, we had Hayes' birthday party. He turned 3, and that's Cameron's, my oldest son's son. So my grandson Hayes, he was, you know, anyway, he turned 3, and you know, he's opened his gifts, and, you know, and it's interesting. He opened mine first, and he was all excited about it. Now I don't know if he needed it or not. All right. First one was a Spider-Man fishing pole, so maybe he can catch some fish or whatever. But whether it's just awesome to see kids get excited about things, you know, that you give them. And so I'm thinking about our Heavenly Father probably gets the same way. Whenever he meets our needs and we get excited about it, he probably thinks the same way. Just like, you know, Hayes is excited and, you know, he's holding up his presents or whatever, you know, but you know, I think God's the same way. He's like, you know what? I want to meet your need, you know, and that's why we should thank him for all he's done. And if he's met one need in the past, you know, we have to sing a song. He'll do it again and again and again. And no matter how hard it is or how much it seems. But, you know, then I like this right here. So in the King James, I'm going to go back to it says, it says, King James verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto to God. And verse 7 is where I really like, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The New Living says it this way. It says, it says this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you is that, you know, once it says once you ask the Lord Tell them what you need. It says, then you experience God's peace. It doesn't say once you receive the item. See, people are waiting to receive their blessing before they experience peace. But you should be able to experience peace in the middle of the storm. And I think that that's where... Now, here's the thing, is that I'm going to tell you, whenever you tell God what you need, and you thank him for what he's done, and then the reason you have peace, because you know it's done in the name of Jesus. It's done. Now, the devil is going to try to talk you out of having peace that passes all understanding. I mean, the peace passes all understanding, I mean, you at some point in time might not understand why you have peace when you shouldn't have peace. All right? And other people are going to not understand because they're like, don't you know the diagnosis you've been given? And then Mike's response is, don't you know my God? I mean, don't you know this? But so we can have peace. But I'm here to tell you the devil's going to try to interrupt your peace by trying to bring those situations back that caused you anxiety, that caused you stress, that caused you to worry. You know, and that's when you have to remember, 1 Peter 5:7, New Living says this, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. You know, 1 Peter, the New King James says, casting all your cares. The point is that if you don't have cares, that's when you can experience peace. But as long as you're caring, you're not experiencing peace. But as long as you're caring for your cares, you haven't really given them to God. You know, and so, but I'm here to tell you that the devil is going to, his whole game is to try to get you out of peace. You know, and Jesus, actually it's interesting that one of the last things that Jesus says is the peace I leave with you. Not, you know, my peace that no one can take it away. You know, the only person that can really take away your peace is not the devil, it's you. The devil can influence you to take away your peace, but you're the only one that can do it. Because the way you take away your peace is you get your focus off of God, off of Jesus, and you put your focus on the things that are causing you stress. And, there's too many people dying of heart attacks to be stressful. Of course, I do say the best thing you can do if you ever experience a heart attack is quit worrying. That's what they say. I mean, that if you try to relax, which I don't know how people relax during a heart attack. But I mean, that's the thing. You should, the same way that you can have peace in the middle of your storm. You know, like, and I go back and hopefully you guys know the Bible stories because I don't have time to tell them. But where Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He's laying in the boat asleep and the storm came and it says the boats were filling with water. And we're not talking about, as far as I know, that he's probably getting wet. And Jesus didn't wake up. They had to wake him up. So Jesus was experiencing peace in the middle of the storm. The disciples weren't. The disciples were, they were concerned. They were having plenty of anxiety and all kinds of stuff. Finally, they got mad and woke up Jesus. And Jesus was like, why'd you wake me up? Well, Jesus, it's like, storming outside. I said, let's go to the other side. But anyway, then Jesus said, peace, be still. Dropped the mic, went back to sleep. I don't know about that. So, but there are times. I mean, there's times maybe that you're sleeping peacefully and all of a sudden maybe you wake up or whatever, middle of the night, maybe you need to get a glass of milk, go to the restroom or something like that. And then you can't go back to sleep because you start thinking about things you've been worrying about. Well, if you can't sleep, that means, and you're worried about something, you haven't cast your cares on the Lord, or you're not having peace. You're not having the peace that passes all understanding, obviously. But it's God's will for us to have the peace that passes all understanding. Well, what does that mean? Well, you don't have to understand why you have peace. You just have peace anyway. I'm trying to fix this earpiece. There we go. I got it. The reason we have peace is because the greater one's on the inside of us. Now, the last thing I want to talk about right here, it says, because sometimes the reason we don't have peace is also what we're thinking on. Because verse number 8 says this, "Finally, brethren," this is New King James first, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now it says, New Living says it this way. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent, and worthy of praise." So here's the thing. The way we keep peace is we quit thinking about all the issues and troubles and trials and situations. We think about the good things. We think about, you know, it's like we all have a choice to see the glass half full, you know, or half empty. You know, we should look at our circumstances like, you know what, it doesn't matter what we're going through now. It's all going to be okay. You know, sometimes I even tell people, although a lot of people, I guess, didn't watch the news, but at some point in time, maybe you shouldn't watch the news. Maybe if that causes you, whatever causes you anxiety, why don't you quit doing that? This is free counseling. The counselor will tell you the same thing. You know, if there's something that's stressful, then quit doing that thing that's stressful. Now, some say, well, Craig, exercise is stressful. Well, maybe you shouldn't quit doing that. Maybe you should figure out a way to do it less stressfully. Or maybe you shouldn't worry about everything all the time. You know, and I will say, it is really hard to be perfectionist and not be stressful, because people are perfectionists, they're like, well, it wasn't exactly perfect. Neither are you. Anyway, but, you know, and so I know at times I get in trouble for not worrying about stuff, but, you know, why? He's got me. All right. And so, but the way we don't stress and freak out is we think about the good things. We think about how much God loves us. Think about things of good report, not bad report. Good report. And you said, well, I don't see good report. Then you thank God that good report's coming. You know, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved. I mean, you know, when I dealt with my kidney issues, every time that I would see that it doesn't look like it's any better, I would say, thank you, Father, that my kidneys are well. Thank you, Father, that my kidneys are normal. And it's interesting how that, you know, it was sometimes gradually, but every time I went to the doctor, kidneys got better, you know. But I never, I think one time I had a situation where I went to the doctor and it wasn't any better, but I didn't let that fool me. I didn't let that, you know, get my mindset all in like, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says, tell God what you need. Well, I needed better kidneys. All right. I needed well kidneys. I needed protein to go through my body, not out my, you know, urine. All right. And so, I eventually got it, but I didn't stress out the whole time. You know, and also too, unlike me, I never researched the bad part about the kidney disease. Why research something that's not going to happen anyway? All right. Yeah. I it's okay to have facts, but sometimes facts scare you. Or sometimes, things that it looks like, you know, can scare you. But, you know, I've seen God turn around some things that look like there's no way out. But we serve a good God. You know, and the deal is, you know, the devil wants to stress you out. That's his whole game. But right here, Philippians, I kind of encourage you. I read Philippians 4, the whole chapter every day. And I want to encourage you, because, you know, to do that as well. And, you know, maybe that'll help you not stress out as much. You know, maybe if, because anxiety is a problem in America. And, you know, God should be the, you know, well, first of all, Jesus Christ is the answer. We already know that. And so, you know what? Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. and you're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, your name. We thank you, Father, for this quick message that we can not have to worry about situations, circumstances, but we can put all our trust in you, and you're going to take care of us every single time. But Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Father God, we just thank you right now that they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you said, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here and you're not saved, lift your hand. We want to make sure you don't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I've been in church, but coming to church doesn't save you. You have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. So my grandfather talked about having a no-so experience. If you don't know whether you're saved or not, well, this morning you can know. If you'll just come down here, we want to make sure that you know this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, man, at one time I walked in Father's house. I was living life like I should. But I've turned my back and I went away. I want to publicly rededicate my life this morning back to the Lord. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. We don't want anybody on any invitation. If that's you, Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that if anyone is here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, we just thank you, Father, right now for bringing laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will accept your Son, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. You know, once again, I do want to encourage each and every one of you to check out the things you're voting for. You can actually go, if you're an Oklahoma registered voter, you can go to okvoterportal.com, enter your information in, find out what's on the ballot so you know what you're voting for. I just want to encourage you that. Don't forget tonight, we're having a fall festival tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. You want to be there. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, the pastors are headed to the door. You can see Pastor Ms. Hagen be at the east door with Rob and Sarah Betts. I'll be at the south door. Don Denise will be in the north door, and the west door will be Bill Ray and Tad. If you're a first-time guest, we're glad to have you today. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you. We want to give you a special gift really, really fast. If you'll just go with them to the north lobby real fast. All right. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight at the Fall Festival over at the NRC. Have a great day.